Mrs. Norton of the English department, she told me when she was a teacher in Gadsden City Schools, she used to have to buy her own supplies.
Yeah. In the 50s and 60s. I taught over there in 65. They didn't even buy paper for them.
Uh-huh.
We're doing much better than we were. That's why I guess the public resents it, you see. A lot of the public doesn't make the, I'd say the per capita, well, I'm not sure what it is, but it's a lot of this teachers make. Teachers make a fairly good living.
Really?
Yeah. Well, in Alabama, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, it might not be so
hot. Starting salary of a teacher with a bachelor's degree in my high school got $23,000 starting, and then they work on a lockstep system, which is 10% more every year until they retire, when they average the last 3 years of their salary together, and that's their pension.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good toward the end.
Oh, yeah.
But in the beginning,
it's not very
good.
But anyway, y'all's per capita income is much higher than ours, and I would assume that you know, teachers do better, relatively speaking, here than they do up in Pennsylvania. A lot of folks here there that make less resentment. It's not a very fertile ground to raise anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And politicians don't talk about it either, about raising more money for education.
Unless it's asked of them, and they try to skirt around.
And then they try to skirt it as quick as straddle 10 fences and talk out of their part of their life.
This is going to be a little bit off the thing of education, but I think we covered it pretty well. Your father was lieutenant governor for Wallace, you said, right?
That's right. He was the first town for Persons. That'll be in there. That's the governor between the two folds of administration. And then he ran for governor in 54 against Governor Folsom and Law, and then came back and ran for lieutenant governor, and Governor Wallace ran for governor.
Okay.
And both were elected, that's right.
How old were you at that time?
Goodness gracious alive. I was in the 11th grade.
Okay.
So how old would I be? 16 or 17? 16.
Yeah, around that age. What effect did that have on you? I mean, you were, I guess, a local kid, you know what I mean? Like your dad?
Almost none, other than just get to go to Montgomery every summer. The legislature used to meet in the summertime, and my mother had died when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you know, he carried me with him almost everywhere he went. And I got to sit there and watch it all.
I mean, did you find yourself, like, a lot of the stuff, pardon me if I come from, like, a point of view from maybe liberal, but more than likely just a hot-headed,
I'm
like, 24-year-old. Yeah. To see those things that were going on back then, the only things that I really consider to be issues for myself, like, I'm sure there was other primary issues, but one of the biggest ones was race, and the way that was handled by Wallace. Was that the way your father felt about it? Was that the way he made you feel about it, or you felt about it?
I don't know. I tell you two things, and you're the only person I've ever told this. He said, "Jimmy, don't ever tell anybody what I feel about this, but because you know it will just kill me politically. But I'll tell you." Now he did. Governor Wallace said, adopted the strategy kind of like they did in Mississippi and Barnett. Said, "Now I need to go to Tuscaloosa." At least said this is what he pronounced open to make sure there's no violence.
To Wallace, then.
That's
okay. Problem.
I'm going to Tuscaloosa to make sure there's no violence like there was open. Oh,
you're talking about 62, right?
I'm talking about the integration.
Okay.
That's right. Integration over this. I'm going to Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
All right, now he was elected in 62. Well, Ole Miss was 62. And Alabama was in 63. But anyway,
okay.
It's like this. So, a lot of folks there, the progressive thinkers or whatever you want to say, when I said, "Now that George, you know, maybe he should go down there. Because, you know, we don't want anybody killed like they did over there in Mississippi." And so anyway, George went down there and told everybody in Alabama, "You stay away. Don't come to Tuscaloosa. I'll take care of you." find that information. A lot of the people felt, though, that George was grandstanding. It's time to, you know, they really didn't know what was in his mind. Whether he was going to refuse to leave, had to be carried off, be put in jail, or what. But nobody had any idea. We even talked about, well, now, Daddy, if George goes to jail, will you be governor of Alabama? And Daddy said, well, now, Jimmy, it just depends on where they put George in jail. The Alabama Constitution says if he's out of the state for 20 days, then I'll be acting governor. But anyway, you know, so we talked about that. And then George asked Daddy to go down there with him, and Daddy said, no, George, somebody's got to stay here and mind the store. So they kind of split that, you see. George wanted to make a big play on it, get a lot of publicity. I don't really know, though. The motive in his heart was probably a dual one. I think probably he wanted to honor his campaign phase of segregation. Plus, though, but then, though, that he wanted to do what he said to prevent any violence going on. But anyway, Dad and Wallace broke at that point in time. They never run as a team down here anyway, but, you know, they try to get along pretty well because the lieutenant governor really is in control of the Senate. And if he and the governor are to loggerheads, and the governor's program has a very tough time getting through. And not only the governor would suffer politically, but the lieutenant, people expect them to cooperate and work together and get something done.
Well, that's why one's governor and one's lieutenant governor.
So that's the way it's supposed to be. So anyway, but they kind of spit bag, you know, and then I'm not sure. A lot of the people, though, at the time split with Wallace over that standing schoolhouse. So more Southern officials and more Alabama officials opposed it than one might think. But even, you know, today Wallace said the only reason he went down there basically was to keep the peace. You want to buy that? That's fine.
What were you thinking in your head when you knew he was going down there?
I thought myself, I said, well, you know,
this is back then, like if you were
back then we drove by the Carver High School every day. I went to my high school, Cassie High School. And I don't know, it was just always so run down, looked so dilapidated. There was a feeling there amongst my friends that, you know, the black people deserve what we have. They don't need to be have an inferior, and they say that the same school, but they don't need to have inferior school. They need to have the same quality school we had. You shouldn't have leaks in the roof, you know, because you could see the school just
running down,
mm-hmm. Just neglected. So, anyway, they really didn't have any black colleges to speak they did, but, you know, I heard of over in Yeston, where I was. So, anyway, we were all sitting down there. They said, you know, Jimmy, said, if I were black, I'd be out leading these marches, too. Because, you know, they...
Is that what he's not supposed to tell anybody?
That's right.
Okay.
Said, the black people, if I'd been mistreated like the black people had all over the world, I'd be at the forefront of this. I said, Daddy, and I believe that's right. He said, but, Jimmy, this is a problem that's going to happen.
I don't know.
Richmond Flowers, some of the folks there in office at the time, he was the Attorney General, stood up and opposed Wallace, called Wallace all kind of names and stood up for the black civil rights. I don't know if he marched without being enough. But anyway, he positioned himself there for struggle, the vanguard there equal treatment there and rights for the blacks. But boy, he was just ridiculed, abused. You've seen stories, I don't know, but they've made a movie about it before this flower. And so he was just politically dead ever since then, because he spoke out against Wallace. Anybody that spoke out very loud. But Daddy Wallace said, my daddy was so lucky. He opposed Wallace so many times, but he was always able to claw his way back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was clawing.
Oh, I'm sure. And it must have been manipulating in a way. Tricky.
It was tricky.
Uh-huh.
You know, he probably didn't. He didn't do like Flowers. That was not his choice. To stand publicly against George Watkins. But, you know, kind of he felt it, you know, Wallace. But, and told Wallace, you know. And told Time magazine. He said, George, I'm not going to Tuscaloosa. I'm staying here to mind the store. So, yes, that publicly, well, Wallace was up to my store, but didn't break publicly with him on segregation.
Okay. The KKK in politics at one time was very real and very prevalent.
Not in my memory.
Okay.
Now, that basically was in the 20s and 30s, and even possibly extended us still over the summer to the 40s. Now, some people disagree.
That's what I'm saying. You think...
But I believe I'm right.
Okay. Now, if it's not anymore, what changes do you think were brought about that made it so that it's like that, so that it was...
They just got a bad press. People didn't. People don't like extremists. Nobody likes extremists, whether they're way left wing or way right wing. There are very few extremists out there that people like to be associated with. I don't ever, you know, generally speaking, it's just too much. That's why the people died. It was just too much. Basically, Southern people like you or wherever are good, decent people. That meant that they pulled out here. It's too much. Nobody believed. The vast majority don't believe in that mess. Therefore, you know, as long as you don't go out and club somebody or burn the house down or something, you're an organization that's political and you stand in for anti-blacks, anti-foreign, or anti-whatever, but you don't have to go out and do anything. So, well, you know that fact, you know, Jews terrible. And, gosh, I see the plan, you know, they stepping up the white folks. When the plan started going out there, you know, and killing folks, burning things down, you know, beating blacks up. And that's,
There was even some of the, we were in lecture once, Professor Jackson, he said that in Tennessee, he said, I don't remember the name he said, but there was somebody who was like a Jew store owner in Tennessee. They had a KKK march through there, and everybody was like, we hate Jews except for you, you know, to the store owner.
Yeah.
Because, like, anybody on a local level, like, if you knew them, like, they were a Jew, but they weren't really, like,
it's not.
Their makeup didn't matter, you know, because you knew them, and it was, like, that, you know, a personal thing.
And as long as everything, though, was, as you say, you could just, you know, hear about it. Read about it, think about it. If you didn't see it in practice, discrimination, hatred, it's okay. But when it started really getting ugly, I'm not interested.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I really am. What aspects of xenophobia hold merit for industry, religion, civil rights, education, etc., in the 60s, then through today? We can break that down. I have other questions about it, like, say, for example, industry. Because what I noticed is that industry and government are kind of interrelated when it's upper industry. But at the same time, the governments down here want to stay far away from federal government. But
the industry would look at the state government, or it should, like that's a little federal government, okay? And the industry itself is like a state government, so they'd want to be independent. But yet one can't run without the other, and it's just, I don't understand why.
Well, that was probably the hardest one. I really be authoritative on that form. I don't know how. I do know that there was discrimination